Now, I hope this doesn't make anybody mad or depressed or angry or anxious, but I don't think we're quite halfway through yet. But are you being blessed? Are you being blessed? Amen. So man, this stuff has really, really been feeding me, and it's super convicting. You know, and James is so practical, and he gives these awesome examples for us to follow. So, you know, it's like, if you think you're spiritual, you think you're doing right, well, check this out. So none of us have any excuses, you know what I mean? You don't even need me to be here for you to get this. We can get into this study and be fed and be energized and walk in this stuff all on our own. Amen? But this is an awesome thing that we get to come together and share this awesome little tiny book written by our Lord and Savior's half-brother, James. James chapter 2 and verse 14. And we see this theme through the book of James. Christians are supposed to be acting like Christians, right? We're supposed to be acting like Christians, and today we're going to go a little deeper in that. Hopefully we're going to get to the point today where James is going to get kind of fired up, man. You know, I don't know how far we're going to get, but James gets to this point where he just stops holding back the punches. It's like he's taking off the boxing gloves, you know what I mean? He's just, this is how it is, beloved. This is what you got to do. The Lord takes this so serious. James takes it so serious. And us, as servants of the Most High God, we need to take this stuff serious. Can I get a witness? Amen. Christians, listen to this. You know it. This is what we're talking about today. Christians bear Christ-like fruit. That's just part of it. A lot of people back in the old day had mixed emotions about the book of James. Martin Luther King... Martin Luther wasn't the biggest fan at a certain time about the book of James. He felt that it kind of contradicted Paul's teachings that we're saved by grace. And that's simply not the case. I mean, it is the case that we're saved by grace. But the book of James and Paul's epistles do not contradict each other, but rather they complement each other. So we're going to be blessed. You guys ready to get into this? Amen. So James chapter 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So in other words, if you say you're a saved person and you're not bearing any fruit on your tree, if you're not doing any good works, are you a saved person? That is our question today. That's the question we have to figure out. And I'm going to tell you in short, it's just like this. As Christians, we will bear good fruit. That is a sign of being a Christian. Not perfectly, right? But increasingly, that's the thing we got to get a hold of. We're on this journey, and we're saved people, and we just need to be so thankful. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful because we go through hard times, we get sidetracked, we get focused on other things. But we need to have that attitude of gratitude, you know what I'm saying this morning, that we want to be about our Father's business, and it really needs to come to that place where we don't even think about it. You know what I mean? I see a need. I'm not going to look the other way. If I can do something about it, I want to do something about it. Can I get a witness? Amen. So Christians bear good fruit. That's just how it is. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Now, keep in mind, we got to hit this real fast. James is not saying it is the works you do that save you. You know what I mean? Feeding the hungry, looking after orphans and widows and stuff like that. It is not those things that save you. You're not building up brownie points. Okay, that's what the false religions do. You know what I'm saying? You have to get a certain amount of good points. You have to be obedient enough to your false deity to where maybe he will let you in to his version of heaven or whatever. Y'all with me so far? Well, we serve the one true God, so let's give him some praise real fast. And are we not, honestly, think about this. Now, I know you're tired. Think about this. We are so blessed We are so blessed that the creator of the universe wasn't going to let you go, Donnie. He wasn't going to let you go. We haven't been sidetracked. We haven't been beguiled. We are actually belong to the family of the Most High God. That's good news, ma'am. That's good news, and that should be something that excites us to where we want to be about our Father's business. Amen. So always remember that. Remember what was done for you at Calvary. Remember the fact that the Lord God Jehovah granted you life. You know what I mean? He didn't have to put you on this globe, but he did. And he didn't do it for no reason. And he didn't save you for no reason. Think about that. He didn't create you for just no reason. Amen. You're pretty hip. You're pretty cool. And I like you. You know what I mean? But there's more to it than that. He created you and he saved your soul for a reason. Amen. So it's not the works that save you. But because I am a saved person, these works will be evident in my life. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about the gift of prophecy. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm a teacher in Sunday school. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. That's another thing for another subject, and those things are useful. But what I'm talking about is because I belong to the Lord, amen, I am going to bear good fruit for the Lord. I am going to be about his business. Amen? Y'all with me? So anyways, if you look on your monitor, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, let's hit that real fast. Don't turn. It's just right there on your monitor. But don't get lazy now. Keep bringing your Bibles. I know because we have this stuff on the monitor, it's so easy not to bring your Bible. But bring your Bible if you can. Amen. And if you don't bring it, just make sure you read that thing all week long. It is so beneficial to our walk to stay in that word. Amen. Just throwing that out there. Let's stay in the good book. And it's kind of cool to listen to all those pages turn. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a good sound, man. That's a happy sound to hear all those pages turning. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul right here. For by grace you have been saved. Okay, so let's make that point clear right now. Okay? Because a lot of people in the past struggled with that. Well, is it works? Is it grace? Is it faith? Is it works and faith? Is that how you be saved? No, it's God's grace that saves us. Amen? That's it. That's all you have to know right there. Amen? That is backed up over and over again in the Bible. You can't be good enough. You can't be cool enough. You can't pay enough money to be saved. That debt was already paid. Amen? We accept the free gift of God. Amen? He did the hard work. He laid down his life by faith. You all have the perfect amount of faith to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? You with me so far?
Amen.
There's no excuse. Okay? You can't say, well, I just don't believe. Oh, don't push it away. Don't push it away. Don't reject the truth. Don't suppress the truth. Amen? Amen? You with me? You have enough faith to believe Jesus Christ is who he says he is and did what he said he had done. Amen? And just pray about it this morning. But Jesus Christ paid for our salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. My faith. Right there. I accept that gift. Amen? And this is not your own doing. So there it is. You can't do it on your own. You accept what Jesus Christ did. It is the gift of God. Amen? Give him some praise this morning. Verse 9, look at verse 9. Not a result of works. It's not a result of works. The works, you don't pile up enough of them to slip into heaven. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. Not works. But because I love Jesus, and because he's done so much for me, he's going to give me a burden for those around me. Amen. James is saying, look at your life, man. Look at it. Amen. Don't be comfortable with being complacent. If you are totally cool with coming to church once a month or once every week or three times a week, but you have no good fruit in your life, then you need to check yourself. You need to just let the Lord search your heart and say, did this thing really take root? Am I really a safe person? Because a good tree bears amen. Good tree bears good fruit. That's just how it is. James is super practical, saying this is what it's going to look like. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Okay? No one can brag about that. I'm so good. I'm so awesome. You know what I mean? I'm good enough, I'm cool enough, I'm hip enough, everybody likes me, I'm going to heaven. No, it don't work that way, man. It does not work that way. No one has bragging rights, amen, but we have an immense amount of pride in what has been done for us, amen? Amen. So verse 10. Now, it gets pretty good right here because right now we're reading what the Apostle Paul wrote. Okay, because a lot of people in the past said, well, James's epistle and Paul's writings would contradict each other, and that's not the case, okay? For we are his workmanship. This is a beautiful verse right here. I want every single person to listen to this. If you've ever struggled with thinking you're not good enough or nobody cares about you, if you're one of those people that have bought into those nasty lies of Satan about yourself, listen to this verse because this is how God sees you. Amen. I'm talking about the creator of the universe, so that better mean something. Amen. Let's get rid of this ideal that you're not special, okay? Because this is what the Lord God says about you. For we are his workmanship, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
That's you, that's me. Give them some praise. We are his workmanship. Now that means like his masterpiece, his work of art. That's us. That's us. Okay, now keep in mind that he's working on that masterpiece. And sometimes it does not feel good to be a clump of clay. And as the Lord continues to work on us and to mold us and to form us into that person. Can I get a witness? But he is committed to making us that person. And see, like the artist that looks at like a lump of stone, he can visualize what he's going to make that into. And he already sees the finished result in his mind. You know what I mean? This is going to be awesome. When I'm done with it, it's going to be awesome. And so he gets to the chipping and the forming and the molding. And here we are. We're in that process. You know what I mean? But God sees the finished result. Remember, he dwells outside of time, Kev. You know what I mean? So he sees the place that he's taking us. And he is stoked and he's fired up about that end result. Amen. So our Lord God is committed to us, and he loves us, and he's working hard on us. Amen?
Amen?
And that doesn't always feel good, but he is doing something awesome in each and every one of our lives. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
You were a dead man walking. You were on your way to hell. That's just how it is. That's how it was. But we're a new creation in Christ. We have been saved by that precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now listen. Well, what for? What'd you create me for? What'd you save me for? What does it say? For good works. For good works. Paul the Apostle just backed up James. James just backed up Paul. Okay? Because you're saved people, he didn't just save you to save you. He didn't just save you to sit on a pew or to put $5 in an offering plate. Those are good things. You know what I'm saying? But we are here to do his business. We're here to bear good fruit, to do good works. Amen? Y'all with me? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All God's people said, what?
What?
Yeah. Isn't that cool when you think about that? Because God's like really big and really smart. And he created me, he formed me, he molded me, he saved me, and he called me, he's maturing me, and he wants me to bear good works. He wants me to do all this stuff. And he had stuff planned out for me way before I was ever thought of. That just blows my mind.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I can't decide what I want to eat at Taco Bell half the time. You know what I mean? But God has stuff lined up for each and every one of us to do. Good works for us to do. Amen. So I think we need to be about our Father's business. Amen. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Okay. Let's go back to James. Cute babies in this house. We got a mess of them, man. We got a herd of them, a flock of them. Bunch of cute babies. Yep. James 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works. Can that faith save him? Short answer is no, ma'am. You know what I mean? If you're not bearing fruit, if you're not doing good works, then you need to check yourself. You know what I mean? Am I a saved person? Because a good tree bears good fruit. Amen. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the next slide. And keep in mind, I'm not saying that if you look the other way when there's a homeless person at the intersection, I'm not saying that you're not saved. You know what I mean? We're busy different things happen, okay? And yes, we can be selfish from time to time. But this is the thing. When God looks at our life, there needs to be some productivity. Amen? We need to be bearing some fruit. Y'all with me? James 2 and verse 15. Now, James is going to hook us up with an awesome example. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, so, I mean, here's the deal. Here's the skinny. Family shows up to your door, or they walk in here. Let's just do this. They walk in here, and they're barely dressed, and it's freezing out, and you can tell they're starving. Well, what do we want to do about that? Hold the phone. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled. So okay, this group of people walk in, or just one person walks in, and we say something awful religious to them. You know, be warm. I know it's freezing outside, and you don't have any clothes, but be warm, brother. Be warm, brother, and be filled. May the good Lord put some food in your belly. You know, maybe say a cop-out type of prayer. I'm not saying prayer is a cop-out, but we can use prayer as a cop-out sometimes. You know what I mean? And sometimes, listen, sometimes all you can do is pray. And that's an amazing thing to do, to pray and earnestly seek God about somebody's needs, because a lot of people's needs are way bigger than you. Amen? But James is saying, if there's something you can do, then you need to do it. Amen? Don't just say, hey, I hope you get something to eat. I know the Lord will provide somewhere. When you know good and well, you can scrounge up something to feed these people. Amen? We can't just look the other way. Christians bear good fruit. Amen? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? James says, you know how ridiculous that would be when you can do something about it? What good is that to say, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I'm going to pray for you. No, do something. Pray too, but do something. Amen? Y'all with me? We do what we can. Amen? And it's not like you can pay off everybody's mortgage. It's not like you can pay off their credit card debt or their school loans or stuff like that. Maybe you can. Let me be the first one you try that out on. No, I'm playing. I'm playing, man, but we can do something. Even if it's just getting on your knees and bringing these people really before the Lord. Amen. But that is not an excuse we use. Amen. If I can do something for somebody in need, and I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about in your neighborhood, in your community, in your world. Remember we talked about last week, love your neighbor as yourself. Those around you, put their needs before your needs. Amen. Amen. You know what I mean? That's what the good book says. And I know I got to keep saying this, but we're not going to do that perfectly. Amen. That's not going to happen. But as Christians, increasingly more and more, more of God, less of me, he's going to give me that burden for a lost and dying world. Amen. Those around me, I'm going to use myself as an example. And I really don't like to use myself in like the really cool, awesome guy example mode. I don't want you guys to think I'm prideful or anything, but here we go. Whatever. Here we go. Years and years ago, I was a carpet cleaner guy, and one of the jobs that we did is we had an agreement with several of the apartment complexes in Pensacola that when someone would move out, we would clean their carpets and stuff like that. And then like once a year when they renewed the contract or something, we would go in and clean their carpets as well. Everybody with me so far? Okay, so one day I go in, this guy renews his contract or something, so we go in to clean his carpets. And the guy was very grumpy, very grumpy guy, and he was drunk, and it was before lunchtime. I was making the best of a bad situation. You know, you're in people's houses all the time, and weird things happen. You know, you just deal with it. You roll with it. You want to do the best job you can and get out of there, and hopefully everybody's happy. Well, anyways, he wasn't in the best of moods, but he started talking about what he was and that he was this highfalutin medical doctor guy. And there was some bitterness in his life. But long story short, he began to open up to me about how he lost everything. He lost it all. He still had his medical license, but he lost his job. His wife left him. His kids wouldn't have any. The guy was just very open. He made some really bad decisions. And so this is the state that he was in. In his older age, he was all alone in this apartment. It was one of the nicer apartments. It was just a normal apartment. When you think about a medical doctor, you know, you wouldn't think about him living in something like this. Not that it was horrible. But he had a bunch of books and stuff and some nice stuff. And I was looking at the books when I was cleaning. And he's like, "You like books? You like books there?" And I was like, yeah, I like books. Comics, mainly. But things with pictures in them and stuff. Well, anyways, we had kind of bonded a little bit. I picked up right away, dude was super lonely, man. Super lonely cat. So anyways, couple weeks pass. Get a call back from the apartment people. "Hey, Paul, when you were there, how come you didn't clean up the spilt milkshake that was on the dude's floor? How come you didn't, you know, clean that with your carpet cleaner thing?" It's like, "Well, because it wasn't there, you know, but whatever." And they're like, "Well, we need to come get you to come back." Well, the dude kept spilling milkshakes, man, for me to come back. He kept doing it. He would spill them in this one space over and over again. And so the apartment people would keep calling me like it was the same one. I was like, "No, I'm doing it every time, and it's coming up." The dude just keeps doing it for some reason. Guy was really, really lonely. So the last time I was there, one of the last times, I look, here's my business card for the carpet cleaning place. Here, why don't you just, you know, call me whenever you want to talk. Man, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And because you're making me look bad, you know. You're making me look bad doing all this. And so anyways, he started calling me. And that's the main thing I did for this guy is I made myself available for a kind of grumpy, rude, mean guy that did not believe in Jesus Christ. He was an atheist because he was, you know, I believe in science and all that sort of thing. Well, science backs up Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ backs up science. It all works together if you look at it with an open mind, right? You know what I mean? Anyways, he starts calling me. This is where it gets really, really good. Is the Lord was just really using me to explain Jesus Christ and how he was real to this atheist doctor guy that in no way, shape, or form, no one could ever convince him that Jesus died for his sins and that Jesus could save his soul. He could not accept that. Okay, so this is going to blow your mind, but I'm talking to this dude one day, and he says, "Paul, you are the most astute person I ever talked to." I'm like, what? What? Are you kidding me? Man, I wish I had this recorded. No one will ever believe this. What does that astute mean, sir? What does that word mean? That's a good thing, right? But that just goes to show you, when you open yourself up to being used by the Lord, you see a need and you can't get away from that need because you feel that tugging. I mean, I could have just laughed like, "Dude, don't call no more, whatever. Stop. You know, you're getting me in trouble." But I felt the need, man. "Hey, here you go, brother." The dude wasn't fun to talk to. He was mean. He was mean. He had a good way of making you feel really, really small, even though he was the drunk guy. You know what I mean? But anyways, we formed a really nice friendship, man. And the Lord really used me to answer these hardcore, tough questions, man. It was a God thing, believe me. It's not that I didn't know the word that much, you know, but it's that sometimes I know things that it's really hard for me to explain. Really, really hard for me to explain. So any old hoot and holler, we have a nice little friendship here. And I talk to him like hours, you know, hour here, next couple days, an hour there. Just really, really all the time type of thing there for a while. Then he calls me up. The last time I ever talked to him, he calls me up and he says, "My doctor friend bought me this book, and it's about Jesus." He's like, "Is it the Bible by chance?" Like, "No, it's another book." Anyways, had a doctor friend, bought him a book, it's about Jesus. And he said, it's really, really helping me out. So that's great, man. That is awesome. Last time I hear from him. 2 or 3 days later, and the dude wasn't like on his deathbed or anything like that that anybody knew about. They had nobody in his life except for me and this other guy. And I didn't even know about the other guy. You know what I mean? And phone rings. I'm at work. I'm doing the carpet thing. I answer it, and it's this other doctor cat who I didn't know. He's like, "Hey, are you Paul?" I'm like, "Yeah." "This is Paul." He's like, "You friends with Dr. So-and-so?" And I forget the guy's name. I really wish I remembered the doctor's name. Is it Dr. Compton? It is Dr. Compton, yeah. Okay. Good job, Rachel. Good job, Rachel. So anyways, it's this other doctor cat, and he's like, "Hey, are you Paul?" I'm like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "I found your name in this book I gave my friend." Okay. You know Dr. Compton. I do. Well, he passed away the other day. And my heart sunk, man, because at that point, we had a lot of awesome, good discussions. But he just wasn't at that place yet to accept in Christ. You know what I mean? I was holding all this apparatus. That's what you call it, apparatus. Or apparatus, whatever, you know, a bunch of carpet cleaning stuff. And I remember just feeling just horrible. And I set the stuff down because, you know, we had just worked so hard. And he said, "Paul, I want you to know I'm a Christian." And days before he died, we were playing golf, and he gave his life to the Lord. And all God's people said, "Thank you for giving to the Lord." Yeah. Jewel in my crown. So anyways, the dude found my little card in that book. He was using it as a bookmark. I would have never, ever, ever, ever known that the good dude got saved. Probably wouldn't have known he died. I mean, eventually it would have come back around me because I worked at those apartments. But that was just God's awesome way of saying, "Hey, check this out. He's gone, man." And see, God put me in that guy's life at the perfect time. How many of those have we missed? How many of them? You know what I mean? Think about that. I'm sure I've missed some myself. You know what I mean? But that guy got saved, and all I did is give him my phone number. That's all I did. I just did the only thing I could do. I prayed and gave him my phone number. I couldn't fix his life. I couldn't bring his family back. I couldn't fix his marriage. I couldn't get him a job at Sacred Heart. You know what I mean? About the best I could do is break my thumb and have him wrap it up to make him feel better. You're good at that, man. Okay, so anyways. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Christians don't look the other way. Amen? Verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Listen to that. James has beaten this point. Man, he's like, you've got to understand this. Christians bear good fruit. And if you're not bearing good fruit, you need to let the Lord search your heart. Amen? Because that's just part of being a Christian. It's not the works that save you. But because I love the Lord, some works are going to be evidenced in my life. Amen? Y'all with me? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Amen? Y'all with me? Let's look at John 14. In verse 15, to back up that claim. Because let's face it, that's a big claim, right? John 14, 15. You guys should know this verse by now. And I'm sure both of you do. If you love me, if you love the Lord, if you love Jesus, this is Jesus Christ talking, okay? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, I thought commandments was Old Testament stuff. No, Jesus has some stuff he wants us to follow too, right? Love the Lord your God, right, with everything that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we got that going on, then we got it going on. Amen? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Mark 12 and verse 31, this is Jesus also talking about that commandment. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? That's it. That's what we have to do. If I'm a Christian person, I need to love my neighbor, whoever they are, as myself. Amen? Even the ones that aren't fun to be around, even the ones that lie about you to get you to come back to clean their carpet, whatever's going on. You know what I mean? God is good, right? All right, let's go to the next slide. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, Paul, you know, you're a works guy. You know what I mean? I'm a faith guy. I'm a student of the word. And I'm all about learning the word and the translations and the Greek and the Hebrew. And that's my thing, you know. You're a worker guy. You know, you go out and you do the thing and you're in the trenches and good for you. But this is my thing. No, here's the deal. If we're in the word of God, something should be happening in our heart, right? If I belong to the Lord, something should be overflowing where I can't look the other way. I know that we cannot do everything for everybody. But what we can do, we should do. Amen. Because Christians bear what? Christians bear fruit. Amen. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. You know, Paul, I'm the faith guy. And you do the kids. You do the kids ministry. And I don't like kids. And it's not even about that. Because, I mean, that's a good excuse not to be in kids ministry. You know, it really is. You know, kids freak me out. I'm not saying me, but I ain't wrong either. You know, there's reasons why maybe you shouldn't be in the kids ministry or maybe you shouldn't be in this sort of ministry. Okay, it's not about that. But when I love the Lord, I'm going to let him use me. Amen. And sometimes you may have to step into a role just because you see a need. Amen. There was this dude, this cat named Larry Linkus. I don't know whatever happened to him. But he was a radio guy in Titusville, Florida. And you could hear him up here on WGS, We Encourage God's Servants, 91.7 FM dial. Back in the day before K-Love took everything over, but that's another sermon. Christians love their K-Love. Anyways, K-Love's good. Listen to it if that's your thing. But there was this guy, this dude named Larry Linkus. And he was talking one day, and I just happened to catch him. And he was the preacher of this church, and it was a fairly big church from what I understand. And he said there was a time and a place where he had to actually work in the nursery of a big church. And he was saying, you know, that's not my thing. That's not where I want to be used, but this is where the Lord needed me at that moment. So I stepped in to do it. So we need to be open to being there for the Lord, right? Because that hit me. I mean, that was one of the things I actually heard, you know. It's like, yeah, right on, dude. You know, sometimes we have to do things that we don't dig on. Now, if it's not a safe thing or not a groovy thing, or you know what I mean? We just have to weigh it out. Make sense? Yeah. If you know what I'm saying is, if you know that you cannot handle being alone with some kids without breaking some pinkies, then let's not do that. Right? But we want to let the Lord use us where he needs us. Amen? Because Christians bear fruit. Amen? But some will say, you have faith, and I have works. Oh, this is good. I found this out doing my research. Listen to this. Faith alone saves. This isn't me, but this is cool. Faith alone saves. Okay? We understand that. My faith in Jesus Christ is what saved my soul. I accepted that gift. Faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. Isn't that good? Isn't that cool? I'm a saved person. I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to be about my Father's business. Titus 3 and verse 8. The saying is trustworthy. This is Paul again backing up James. James backing up Paul. The saying is trustworthy. And I want to... The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. This is in the pastoral epistles. Paul is talking to a pastor, okay? I want you to insist on these things. This is what I want you to tell the folks. So that those who have believed in God, those that are saved, those that have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. See that? We're supposed to be about our Father's business. You with me? You can't even really separate the two. I have faith in the Most High God. I've accepted Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am going to bear fruit. Amen? Amen. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Listen to this. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James is saying, I can't see your faith, bro. I can't see it because I don't see no fruit. You know, but you can see my faith because look at all this fruit. James, it's not about other people seeing your good deeds. James is making a point. Look at yourself. Look at yourself, you know, because if you really love the Lord, there should be some fruit on that tree. Because when I look at that tree, I don't see no fruit, and that tree looks a little bit dead to me. You know what I mean? So James is inviting us, like he's constantly doing over these weeks, look at yourself. Don't be judging other folks. You don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. You don't know what's in their heart. It's about you. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Where do you stand in all this? Are you bearing fruit or are you not? That's a real easy way to understand if I have a relationship, a genuine relationship with the Most High God, with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Thank you. Man, I wish I could sing. Y'all are like, yeah, me too, dude. I'll be honest with you. I prayed 3 times for you to be able to sing. Matthew 6 and verse 3 and verse 4, right there at the bottom. Now check this out. Like I said, we don't do good works to be saved. We're saved because we accept that gift. The good works come from the fact that I'm a saved person. And when I do these good works, I don't do them to be noticed. I don't do them to get the pat on the back. You know what I mean? And that may not ever happen, but that should not be a motivation behind why you go out there and do it. Amen? You do it because you love the Lord. You do it because you can't look the other way. Amen? Matthew 6 and verse 3. But when you give to the needy, this is Jesus, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That seems kind of hard, don't it? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. We know what that means. You do something because you see a need. Don't do it because you want somebody to pat you on the back. Don't do it because you want someone to see you. Like, I want to bless Sister So-and-so, and I got this $20 bill in 4 quarters, so let me wait for Rick to come in here and James to come in here and be like, oh, sister, praise the Lord here. I just wanted to bless you a little bit. Ooh, I dropped the, let me get that for you. And, you know, it's not about that. It's not about the show. You know what I mean? That should not be a motivation at all. Amen? That's what this is all about. Hey, if you can do it without being noticed, do it without being noticed. You don't have to sneak onto someone's doorstep at 1 a.m. in the morning and put them some strawberries there from your own garden if they're starving to death. You know what I mean? Do it when you can, but don't do it because you want to be seen. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That's awesome. That's something we can get excited about. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you for bearing fruit. I'm going to bless you for being a blessing to other people. Amen. Let that excite you, man. Well, Paul, the preacher, the last one at the other church, he said, you know, you don't do it for the rewards. And hey, if it wasn't in there, then we shouldn't be excited about it. But God wants us to be excited about it. You're going to get blessed. You make sense? You be about my business, I'm going to take care of you. Okay. Is everyone doing all right? James 2 and verse 19. James 2 and verse 19. You believe that God is one. You believe that God exists. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. James is kind of funny right here. He's like, talking to the guy that's like, I got faith. You know, you don't see a lot of the fruit. You don't see a lot of the stuff, you know, but I got faith. I believe in God. I'm a good person. I believe in God. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Demons believe in God. Demons know God is real. They have faith to believe that God is real. They know that. And that helps them. That does not help them out at all. You know what I mean? Just believing in something isn't going to save you. You have to accept that gift. And if you've accepted that gift, okay, there's going to be some fruit evident in your life. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. This is we made it. We made it. This is where James is taking the gloves off, man. He's like, you guys. James is cool, man, because this is a letter. This isn't him talking to a bunch of cats, you know what I mean? And somebody's writing it down as he's doing it. This ain't the Sermon on the Mount. This is James giving a letter out, you know? And he's anticipating the readers, you know, this guy over here saying, I believe in God. You believe in God? Good, demons do too, man. You know, or, you know, he's anticipating these guys, you know, kind of getting a little upset at him. So James is getting fired up himself, you know, because this is that important. You know what I mean? People's lives hang in the balance of whether or not we're going to be obedient. It makes sense. God wants to use us to bear fruit. Y'all understand that? I mean, what I wanted to say is, of course you understand that. You're bright people. I wanted to say amen. And then y'all should say amen. Cool. Amen. Do you want to be shown? This is James. Do you want to be shown? You foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless. Now, the next time we get together, Lord willing, James is going to give some awesome examples about how when you love the Lord, you're going to be bearing some fruit. When you love the Lord, there's going to be some works attached to that. You're going to be about your Father's business. Amen. But let us understand that I love Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. And therefore, I am going to bear fruit. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus, I love you. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for igniting this congregation, Lord, to be on fire. On fire for you, Lord God, that we want to be about your business. That we want to be there for our neighbor. That we won't be able to look the other way if you want us to do something, Lord God. That this church will be what you've called us to be. That we will be a lighthouse. And a blessing to this community, this neighborhood, and as far as you want to take us. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
So.